Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold that call for the time being, and please hold your calls till we ask for them, because we have with us today on the line from back there in Missouri, Phyllis Schlafly, president of Eagle Forum, a woman who's been one of the major leaders of the Christian conservative movement, going back to 1964, when her book, A Choice Not an Echo, really had a profound impact on the political process, proved to a lot of people that they really could do something important, and of course, I think was responsible for getting Barry Goldwater on the presidential nomination that year. Phyllis, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Well, hello, Dr. Stan. Always good to talk to you.
Well, we're going to be talking about Phyllis's new book, and which maybe I think the most important book she's ever written. It's called The Supremacist, The Tyranny of Judges and How to Stop It. And it really goes into the Supreme Court and of the judges who have violated their oath of office to uphold the Constitution, the oath that they swore. And they have a different agenda. So I'm going to let you pick up and tell the story, Phyllis.
Well, what we have is the judges who are trying to change us from a country of which is the rule of law to the rule of judges. And a supremacist is somebody who thinks he belongs to a special group that is able to rule over the rest of us. And that's the way they are. And so you hear people saying that the Constitution is whatever the Supreme Court says it is, and that whatever some judge says is the law of the land. Well, that is not so. The Constitution says what the supreme law of the land is. It's the Constitution and the laws that are made in pursuance thereof. And the all legislative power is in the hands of the Congress. None of it is in the courts. And what we have had is judges deciding a social, political, and economic policy. The hot-button issues at the present time are the marriage issue. We have judges who are trying to give us same-sex marriage licenses, even though that's against the law in all 50 states. We have judges who are saying that it's unconstitutional to pledge allegiance to the flag because it contains the word under God. And we have judges who are throwing out Ten Commandments monuments and crosses on a misreading or their own particular reading of the First Amendment. At the same time, they use the First Amendment to wrap it around all the pornography that they can find. So these are social decisions that are made by the judges who have no business making them. And I agree with the president, we're not going to stand for it. We simply have to move into gear in order to get us out from under the rule of judges.
And I really think this is what it's all about. It's about a group of people who wear black robes, who violate their oath of office on a regular basis, and of course nobody has the courage to stand up against them. Judge Roy Moore did, and of course he was removed from his position as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. And what is really so amazing is most people support Judge Roy Moore. Most people feel that he was right and the judges are wrong. And yet, very, very few of our elected officials have the courage to stand up and do anything about what's happening. And certainly,
that's because they have this idea that anything a judge says has to be obeyed. Now, there is nothing, there is no violation of the First Amendment in having a Ten Commandments monument.
Hold that thought right there, Phyllis. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Schlafly, who is the president of Eagle Forum, who has been on the front lines of this battle ever since I can remember when I first get involved, why Phyllis Schlafly was there. That was 1962, and she's still going strong, and she's written a wonderful book recently. It's entitled The Supremacist, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It. And she simply points out that we have a lot of judges who certainly are against the Pledge of Allegiance. They're against the mention of God. They want the homosexual marriages. They see nothing wrong with pornography, but they, you know, in the name of freedom of speech, but the mention of God is, oh, that's a total violation of our Constitution. And Phyllis is talking in her book about the problems we have and how we got into this mess and why it is that so many people think that if the judge says it, it's the rule of law, whereas the law is really based upon our Constitution and what it says, isn't it, rather than what the judge says that it says?
Right, but you have these activist judges who've been talking about a living and evolving Constitution. That expression was popularized by an activist judge named William Brennan, and what that really means is it's a code word for saying they can do whatever they want to do, and we're supposed to obey. And the judicial supremacists really got going in the years of the Earl Warren Court. Earl Warren got his job as Chief Justice by delivering the California delegation at the Republican National Convention of 1952 to Eisenhower instead of to Taft. He had no judicial experience. He didn't have any principles because he was nominated for governor of California by both the Republican and Democratic parties. So he was just a politician. And when he went on the court, he set about to try to increase the power of the court and to make everybody believe he could do everything. Now, for example, he had a whole series of decisions that were pro-communist decisions. All the communists who'd been convicted and people who had been convicted under our internal security laws, he turned loose and reversed the lower court convictions. Then there was the prayer decision. He threw prayer out of the public schools, and that was just the beginning of a long series of anti-God, anti-religious decisions that the Supreme Court was making in their distorted view of the First Amendment. Basically, they were just putting their own social preferences into the law. And then they had a series of decisions on...
Hold that thought for just a minute while we bring our other stations on board here, fellas.
Okay,
this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Phyllis Schlafly, and she was simply saying that Earl Warren and the period of the Warren Court really began to transform America, and Earl Warren, a man with no judicial experience, never been a judge, never been an assistant Supreme Court justice, suddenly is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States with no legal precedent for that, and he set out to transform America by taking prayer out of our schools and a number of other terrible decisions that really began to transform America. So pick up the story there, Phyllis.
Yes, and so he began saying that the Constitution was whatever the court said it is, and he misquoted from Marbury versus Madison, which was the John Marshall decision, which most lawyers will say really established judicial review. But that was a case in which the court limited its own power. The court understood in Marbury that it could only exercise such authority as had been given to it by the Congress. And so Warren misstated that, and then he went on in his rampage to give more power to the courts. There was a series of decisions on law enforcement, which he was tying the hands of the police. There was a series of decisions in favor of the communists. The series of decisions in favor of pornography is really quite shocking. It was in 1966. The court handed down, I think it was 32 or 34 decisions, all turning the pornographers loose. overruling the lower courts, the law enforcement people, the local juries, the laws, and basically, after they finished with those decisions, anything goes.
And of course, a lot of that was based upon Kinsey's work, Alfred Kinsey, but Kinsey's work was totally flawed. He was a pedophile, he was a homosexual, he was a pervert. He set out to change the laws of this country, but he couldn't have done it without the full help and support and confidence of the men in the black robes in Washington, D.C.
Yes, I think they're really quarterbacking the game for the pornographers. And Justice Kennedy apparently thinks that sex as teenagers shown in movies is perfectly all right. The latest decision came out just after my book went to press was the one where they knocked down the congressional law that put some kind of restriction on the pornographers from sending their porn into your computer in your own home where children can get it. And the court said it was the parents' job to put a filter on. And I think that's just like saying if there's some man exposing himself out in your front yard, your job is to pull down your shade. That's ridiculous. It's the person who's committing the indecency who should have the regulations on him.
And I think really what's so really distressing to me is the fact that pornography is all right in the name of freedom of speech, but we certainly can't allow any organization to publish the voting record of the congressman within 60 days of the elections, because that, of course, is we've got to restrict that. And, of course, that was what the McCain-Feingold bill was all right. So it's all right to restrict the people who want to tell our citizens how their politicians vote, but we've got to give the pornographers full rein, because we can't infringe on their freedom of speech, and there's something wrong with what we're seeing.
That's exactly right. And the pornography industry is really the most favored industry among our courts. They basically let them do anything they want. And they've knocked down every attempt to regulate them. As Judge Robert Bork said, the suffocating vulgarity of our present times is in large part due to the court. And they are just quarterbacking the case for the pornographers and letting them do whatever they want to do. But this is a matter of judicial supremacy. These were the supremacist judges who believed that they could override all the laws and write their own theories into the law in place of what the state legislatures and Congress had done.
Well, what's even more disturbing is that they want to get the Ten Commandments out of any public place or public display or school, and almost like they want to replace God.
Well, I think it was Justice Rehnquist who talked about the hostility to religion among the Supreme Court justices. They are really hostile to it. Now, when we talk about these Ten Commandments documents, monuments and plaques and whatever they are, there are probably 10,000 of them in public places, public parks, public buildings like the courthouse in Montgomery. And the ACLU is going after them one by one. And that's because there's a little pot of gold under each one. When the ACLU wins its case, it can collect attorney's fees. So the ACLU looks upon going after the Ten Commandments as a fundraiser. And they can dust off their same old briefs and file it in another state and then collect big attorney's fees.
Well, why doesn't Congress limit that? I mean, the Congress passed the law, Congress could repeal the law.
That is one of the recommendations in the remedies I have in my book, The Supremacist. It was a law that was passed by Congress in 1976. It was a Watergate-era law, and it's called Civil Rights Attorneys Fees Awards Act. And it was designed for poor people who might have their civil rights interfered with and who couldn't afford a lawyer to go ahead and have their case, and then the lawyer could recoup from the one who lost the case. But however, the ACLU has distorted this into their civil right not to see the Ten Commandments. Now that is how ridiculous it is, and yet they're getting by with it. The attorney's fees awarded in Montgomery, Alabama, were over $500,000.
That was the case of Judge Roy Moore. With, I think most of the people supported Judge Roy Moore, and they felt that the judges were wrong. And yet, of course, the ACLU got over $500,000 for doing that?
They did. And now the Alabama taxpayers weren't paying to defend the Ten Commandments. They were paying the ACLU to get rid of the Ten Commandments. And that we were forced by this law, which Congress ought to repeal and do it very rapidly. The ACLU is so determined to go after these Ten Commandments monuments that they had a scavenger hunt in Utah to find another one that they thought was there, but they couldn't find. And they offered a prize for somebody who found it so they could sue another.
And make more money. And what is we're seeing is organized madness. And part of it is an intense hatred of Christianity and Judaism, and intense hatred of God.
Yes, it certainly is.
One of the things you bring out was the significance of the Dred Scott decision. I'd never heard about that before, and how the Supreme Court came up with this very flawed decision, but what a tremendous impact that case has today. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about Dred Scott, what that was about, and how this due process provision has been misused by activist judges ever since?
Well, Dred Scott, he's the famous case that actually started in St. Louis, Missouri, and he was a slave who had been taken into a free state and sued for his freedom. And the Supreme Court held that blacks had no rights that the white man needed to obey, needed to respect. The blacks had no rights that the white man had to respect. It also held, declared unconstitutional the congressional law that banned slavery from the territories, which were under the control of Congress, and which Congress had every right to ban slavery from it. And the Supreme Court in the Dred Scott case held that unconstitutional. And this is a good example of the court getting out of line in trying to decide things that were not before it, and of course making bad decisions too. And Abraham Lincoln understood the Dred Scott decision very well. They figured prominently in the famous Lincoln-Douglas debates. And Abe Lincoln said, well, under our system, the court can decide what happens to poor old Dred Scott, but they cannot make law for the rest of the country, and because that would mean we would be under judicial tyranny. And he absolutely refused to respect the decision as the law of the land.
Well, now, what was the due process concept that they sort of took out of context and then they used that as a vehicle of justifying what was totally an illogical, immoral, and incorrect decision?
Well, now, that's another thing. The Fifth Amendment says you can't be have life, liberty, or property taken away from you without due process of law. Now, every meaning of that is that it refers to the procedure. In other words, if you're going to be tried, there has to be a certain procedure. You've got to have a trial by jury, and you've got to have an indictment and be properly arraigned and all that sort of thing. Due process refers to the process. But when you got to these activist judges in the last 50 years, they redefined it, and they tried to make it apply to substantive rights and to say that the courts could use the due process clause to create new rights and decide what we all have to do about it. So we know the courts have created the right to abortion. Some courts have created the right to same-sex marriage licenses. They created the right to show and publish pornography, even with taxpayers' money. And they've created the right of illegal aliens to receive taxpayer-paid benefits. Justice Douglas, who was another one of these activists, once said that the Due Process Clause was the wild card that the judges could use any way they wanted to. Isn't that outrageous?
It certainly is. You know, it's just like making every card in the deck wild, and then, of course, you can do whatever you want to.
Yeah,
and
that's he was a gambler and had a lot of Las Vegas connections, so that's why he used the metaphor of wild card.
We'll be back here in just a moment with Phyllis Lafley, her book, The Supremacist. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464. 8295. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
And we carry it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Phyllis Lafley, her book, The Supremacists. It goes into the background of the Supreme Court, which is violating the very oaths that these men and women have taken to uphold our Constitution. In fact, Phyllis, aren't they even really going to other countries and looking at their laws to see how we should interpret our laws rather than do what they are chartered to do, what they're supposed to do, what they've sworn to do, and that is interpret our Constitution?
That's right. Every judge takes an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. And there are 6 current Supreme Court justices who have cited foreign sources as a basis for their opinions. And that is really outrageous. In fact, did you see, Dr. Stan, that this week Gorbachev filed a brief with the Supreme Court trying to tell us what to do? I think they should have sent that back by return mail. Postage due.
Well, he is certainly, isn't he a great Democrat after all? He's written something, I think it's called the Earth Charter, which he says is to replace the Ten Commandments, but he's got a lot of support from a lot of very wealthy people. Gorbachev I think has a tremendous impact on what's going on in America today, and I think everybody here should begin to question what is really going on. In fact, a lot of this really doesn't make sense, and a lot of the decisions of the Supreme Court don't make any sense having to do with our laws.
When Justice Kennedy wrote the opinion in Lawrence v. Texas, that's the case that threw out the Texas anti-homosexual sodomy law, he couldn't find anything in the U.S. Constitution to justify the decision. So he invoked other authorities to rationalize his emerging awareness that the judiciary can now grant more license in matters of sex. And he cited a lot of non-American authorities, including a committee advising the British Parliament, decisions of the European Court of Human Rights, the European Convention on Human Rights, a brief filed by a former United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, and other nations too. And the whole thing of invalidating an American law because of what some foreigners say, it just should not be tolerated.
But wouldn't this be grounds for impeachment of these people? Well, one nice thing about your book is that you have listed there a number of things that can be done, because you don't simply quote the problem, you get into the solutions. But before we get to that part of it, before we get to our next break, let's talk to Larry from Phoenix, Arizona. And I think he has a question. Hi, do you have a question, Larry?
Yes, I do. And it sounds like you're going to address it. And that's what can be done about this?
Well, that's why you have to get the book, which we incidentally are going to be carrying at Radio Liberty, but we'll
give
you
that. That's right. Let's give Larry the number. It's 888-773.
No, we're going to carry it, Phyllis.
Oh, you're going to carry it.
We're going to carry the book, right.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, great. I'm so glad.
Okay, fine. Larry, but let's tell, there are certain things that you have suggested in your book, Phyllis. You want to just begin to cover those. What can the average individual do, and then what can our elected representatives do to get this, these judges to do what they're supposed to do or get rid of them?
Well, the solution to our problem is action that Congress can take. And in order to get Congress off the dime and moving, we have to have more people from the grassroots who understand this issue and tell the congressmen they have to act. As my friend, the late Everett Dirksen, used to say, they will see the light when they feel the heat. And my book is a handbook to enable you to talk to your congressmen and tell them what to do. Now, the first number one thing that Congress should do is to pass the bill that's coming up in the House tomorrow, H.R. 3313, to withdraw jurisdiction from the federal courts over part of the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, this is not going to solve all our problems, but it is a terribly important first step. And then after we do that, we have to get through the Senate, but then we have to move to do the same thing in regard to the acknowledgement of God. In other words, take away from them the power to hear any challenge to the acknowledgement of God as though it were a violation of the First Amendment, which it is not. The idea that the Pledge of Allegiance is a violation of the First Amendment is just absurd. And then we have lots of other suggestions that come after that in regard to the justices citing foreign sources. I think that's a good ground for impeachment.
I do, too. We're going to be back. Do you want to hang on, Larry, or do you want to...
Yes, I will.
All right, you hang on. We've got to go to a break here, and then we'll talk to you afterwards, okay?
Okay, fine. Okay.
most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. The book is called The Supremacist. Our guest is Phyllis Schlafly. And our number, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, which we think is important enough that we're going to go ahead and carry it, and we do a lot of our interviews, but we can't carry all the books, but this one is a very important one. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Larry, did you have another question you wanted to ask? Larry, are you there? Oh.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't it true that when Clinton was the first elected that he dismissed all the district court judges and reappointed them?
No, he dismissed...
No, what he did was to replace the U.S. attorneys right away.
U.S. attorneys,
which he did have the power to do, but nobody has ever done it that ruthlessly before. The federal judges he could not fire because they have life tenure. But Clinton appointed approximately half of the federal judges we have today, and we still have federal judges who were appointed by Jimmy Carter and Lyndon Johnson. And it was a Nixon-appointed judge in the Ninth Circuit who was the one who threw out the Pledge of Allegiance. So we have a real problem with these supremacist judges who are just on the court year after year and doing all kinds of damage. And this is why I'm certainly in favor of President Bush appointing good judges. But that is not going to solve the problem because we have all these judges with life tenure who are still there.
And the only way they can be gotten out of there is to be impeached by the Congress?
That's correct.
But, of course, what you can do, Larry, is you can restrict what they do, and this would be what Congress can do. So would you like to explain to Larry how this can be done using the Constitution, our Constitution?
Well, our founding fathers were so wonderful. They built into the Constitution everything that we need to protect ourselves. Now, in Article 3, which is the judicial article of the Constitution, it is clear that it created the Supreme Court, but said that Congress can make exceptions and regulations to the cases it can hear. Now, all the other federal courts were created by Congress. So anything Congress creates, it can uncreate, abolish, restrict, regulate, or say they can't hear X number of cases. And Congress has done this many times. Now, there are certain parts of the Medicare law that cannot be appealed to the court, certain parts of the immigration law, of the Voting Rights Act, and there's a lot of labor legislation that you cannot appeal to the federal courts because Congress said you can't hear those cases. And just last year, Senator Daschle of South Dakota got a law passed that said the courts cannot hear a case about brush fires in South Dakota. And that's because he doesn't want EPA or any civil suits interfering with whatever they're doing in South Dakota. He didn't care what was going on in the other 49 states, but he is protecting South Dakota from the mischief of the federal judges.
All right, fine. So, Larry, anything else?
Well, if it comes down to our Congress, it's kind of a...
Well, I think, Larry, lots of us are disillusioned with Congress, but remember what Phyllis said, and she was quoting Everett Dirksen. Politicians do not see the light till they feel the heat. And that's, of course, what we have to do is bring such pressure on them and say, we don't care how you vote. I mean, if you're not willing to take a stand for the Constitution, get rid of these turkey judges, why, we're going to vote you out. We don't care who comes in. We'll get rid of them next time, too. We want somebody who's going to go back and stand by the Constitution.
That's right. And my book, The Supremacists, is a real handbook for action. It's not written for lawyers. It's written for people like you so that you will feel comfortable arguing these issues, and so that you can explain the facts of life to your member of Congress.
Okay, Larry, thanks so very much for calling.
Thanks for answering my questions.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye
okay,
now.
Fine. And, of course, that was Larry. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're really talking about how judges have been dictating fundamental social policy, imposing taxes, managing our schools and prisons, and orchestrating elections. That's rather frightening. Where do they get off, you know, coming up and determining social policy? Where do they get off imposing taxes on the people? I thought that we were ruled by law, not by judges.
Yeah, you thought so. You thought we had the separation of powers, too,
right,
with three co-equal branches of government. But the courts did it incrementally, little by little, over the last 50 years, and people didn't realize it was happening. But just look at the catalog of what they've done. Censored the Pledge of Allegiance, ordered the Ten Commandments taken out, ordered that itty-bitty cross taken out of the Los Angeles County Seal, changed the definition of marriage, banned the acknowledgement of God in public schools, imposed taxes, rewritten our criminal laws, dismantled the laws that protect us in internal security. And then they created all these new rights, like abortion and same-sex marriage licenses and the right to show pornography even with taxpayers' money. And then there's another whole series of bad decisions, supremacist decisions, when they overturned the laws adopted by majorities in referenda statewide. For example, California passed 187 by a big majority, a law to bar taxpayer benefits to illegal aliens. And one judge stopped it. One judge just overrules, 4 million people in California.
Oh, much more than that. And the other thing is, she had a vested interest. She wasn't interpreting the law. She wanted to encourage illegal immigration, and then she stalled it and stalled it and stalled it until Governor Gray Davis got in there, and he could have appealed it at that point, but he had already decided he wasn't going to go along with what the people of California wanted. He had his own agenda, and here we increasingly have a fascist system of government where the will of the people is not respected either by the judges or by people like Gray Davis.
I think the underlying question, the fundamental issue facing us, is are we going to continue to be a land of self-government where we are ruled by our elected representatives based on the will of the people, or are we going to submit to the rule of an elite group of people, the judges, who are unaccountable, unelected, and who impose their own will on us, contrary to what the American people want? I mean, that's the question, Dr. Stan.
All right. Why do judges want to remake our society to reflect their liberal thoughts? I mean, why don't they understand that they have an obligation to adhere to the oath that they swore? Or maybe they don't believe that oaths have any meaning. But why do they want to remake our...
Well, I think a lot of them have simply bought into the, as one of the justices said, they bought into the homosexual agenda. And they really want to impose it. Now you take this chief judge in Massachusetts who handed down the decision requiring same-sex marriage licenses. She was born in South Africa, and some of her friends kind of let the cat out of the bag and said she was really echoing South African law when she purported to change the marriage law in this country. And what's so disappointing is the chief public officials in Massachusetts, like the governor and the speaker, are standing around saying, oh, I don't agree with same-sex marriage, but we have to obey the court order. And I think that's nonsense. Massachusetts even has a procedure to fire judges, and they ought to do it. They ought to be fired.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, this big problem that we have, you know, this idea that there's a wall of separation between church and state, and that's why we can't have any mention of God in our schools. We can't have any mention of, of prayer in our schools, and the voluntary prayer has been taken out. I haven't quite figured out why they haven't taken prayer out and Bibles out of our prisons, though. A child can't read a Bible in public school, but they can read a Bible in a public prison. Maybe if they were reading the Bibles in public schools, they wouldn't be in public prison.
Good for you. I didn't know they let them into prison.
Oh, yeah. You can have Bibles in prison, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got Robert calling in from Illinois. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you. So I wanted to ask Mrs. Shaffley what her opinion of the Constitution Party is, being that they seem to support, you know, her opinion on the judges and so forth.
All right. What are your thoughts on the Constitution Party, or do you want to express that?
The Constitution Party... Well, I think I'm more practical. I am still trying to save the country through the mechanism of the Republican Party, which has a chance of getting elected. I just have never supported any third party because I think it just doesn't really have a chance.
You really think that the the establishment Republican Party will make the changes necessary to bring about, you know, your...
Well, you make a good argument. I'm not sure they will. but nevertheless, you do have a lot of good Republicans in the Congress, and they're not enough, but there probably are about 40 of them who are really good guys in the U.S. House, and I'm they're the ones I hope are going to save us from all these monsters.
Well, one of the things that really bothers me is the fact that we have this seven of the nine Supreme Court judges were actually appointed by Republican presidents. That really deeply disturbs me. Maybe what they keep talking about, and I've been a Republican all my life and on the Central Committee, but I recently resigned when I realized that they were going right along with the Democrats.
Well, the Republicans got disappointed. That's correct, and that's why, even if some of them are not supremacist judges when they are appointed, they can get that way afterwards. And so Reagan was very disappointed, and in Sandra Day O'Connor, and Bush was, I think, devastated by Souter. But there it is.
All right. Well, let's. Anything else you want to say there, Robert?
I just wonder if there's any chance that Mrs. Stafford will run for senator now that it's open in Illinois.
Well, I've been inundated with calls all week, but I'm sorry to tell you, I moved to Missouri and I'm not available.
All right, okay, thanks very much. Let's go to Gary, who's calling from Marina. Hi, Gary. The question for Mrs. Slaffley?
Yes, honored to talk to both of you.
I just tuned in. Maybe you've covered this, but what does the Defense of Marriage Act cover and what doesn't it cover? I thought this was a done deal.
All right, fine.
It is a done deal in regard to the law being passed, and it is the law. But what you have is the legal buzz is that an activist judge is soon going to throw it out, declare it unconstitutional, and already a couple of lawsuits have been filed, and they're working their way through the courts. Now, the Defense of Marriage Act has two sections. One section says marriage consists of a union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. And the other section regulates the full faith and credit section of the Constitution and says, basically, if one state adopts same-sex marriage, the other 49 states don't have to pay any attention to it. They do not have to recognize it. And it's a good law. It was overwhelmingly passed by big majorities in 1996 and signed by Bill Clinton. But every lawyer you talk to says some judge is shortly going to invalidate it or knock it out.
Well, then why don't we just impeach that judge? I mean, if the judges knew they were going to be impeached for doing things that are unconstitutional and certainly don't honor God, then they'd quit doing what they're doing.
Well, that's right, but the better way is the way of passing the bill that's going to be voted on in the House tomorrow, which is to say that the federal court doesn't have any power, doesn't have any jurisdiction to hear such a case.
And I think that's a great law. Okay, Gary, does that answer your question?
Yeah, do you think it's going to end up in the Supreme Court?
Well, unless Congress takes away jurisdiction, it will.
But if the Congress takes away jurisdiction, it can't end up there. Here's what you do, Gary. Certainly, the Article 3 of the Constitution allows Congress to say to the Supreme Court, you can't hear these cases, and they'll yell and scream and say it's unconstitutional. You say, look, you know, you keep doing that, we're going to take away your black robes and your pensions, and then they'll be quiet. But the Article 3 gives Congress the ability to limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court.
And if it ends up going to this Supreme Court we have right now, which way do you think it'll go?
Well, if the bill passes, it's not going to get there. That's what the bill is all about.
Well, I hope so.
Okay, fine. Look, thanks very much for calling. Okay, fine. Well, Phyllis, you know, I think that there are a lot of people out there who feel very, very strongly, and I do hope that they're all going to get your book, because we ordered a pile of them today.
Yes, because Dr. Stan, it's such a good handbook for the average person to understand all the ways that the activist judges are interfering with our life and how to remedy it. There are a lot of good books on the court, but most of them are written for lawyers, and most of them don't have any remedies. And so my book is your handbook for action.
And, of course, the last good book we had was written back in about 1960 by Rosalie Gordon, Nine Men Against America. And I haven't seen anything on this since then that brings us up to date until The Supremacist, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It was written by Phyllis Lafley, which is why I think this book is so very, very important. If we don't have rule by law, if we have rule by activist judges, then you can forget about our individual freedom.
That's right. That's the big issue of today.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, I really think it's so vitally important that we get this legislation through. And then, of course, we pass the other legislation. But let me ask you one question. How do you feel about this effort to get the constitutional amendment through, you know, that would outlaw homosexual marriage? What was your position on that? Because many good conservatives and many Christian ministries supported it. I thought it was a terrible idea.
Well, I think it's something that really can't do the job right now. It would take a long time. But more important than that, the people who were proposing it could not agree on the text. So while I support a constitutional amendment, and I would have voted for what came up for the other day, it is difficult because they can't agree on the text of it. And in the law, it's the wording that makes so much difference.
But, of course, there was talk that, you know, they could always then suggest maybe we ought to have a constitutional convention to get this thing
through. Oh, that's terrible.
No, of course, and I think we would all agree that there are people out there who are always looking for some excuse to amend the Constitution with a constitutional convention. And what's wrong with a constitutional convention?
Well, the first thing they do if they ever had one is to take away the Second Amendment.
Right, and of course they can. When they get the Constitutional Convention, they can do whatever they want to, and so we never want to.
It would be a madhouse.
It sure would be.
It would be like having the Jesse Helms and the Jesse Jackson caucus trying to work out a new constitution.
Okay.
Yeah, and the just think of the demonstrators that would be around.
Right.
So, in regard to a marriage amendment. Fine, I would have voted for it, but the limiting of jurisdiction is the way to go, because that can be done now. It can be done tomorrow. It can be done by a simple majority.
Amen to that.
That's the way we want to curb the court.
Amen. Well, thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Phyllis Schlafly. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and I think we have you on one more time here in a couple of weeks on our evening program. And so,
there's no end to this subject.
We'll be back again, once again, with Phyllis here in a couple of weeks. God bless. Bye-bye.
Good evening.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dagan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact that too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. You might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to just mention that we carry a shortwave radio with Sanjian. I think it's a 515 or 505, and it's a great shortwave radio, and you can actually pick up our evening program on that. We do a program every evening from 8 to 10 here in the Pacific Coast, and if you cannot hear our program by other means or by on the Internet, although it's available on the Internet, well, you can get a Sanjian shortwave radio and get yourself an aerial. It comes with a 24-foot aerial, and you should be able to pick us up and hear the evening program as well. Then we carry something called the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, and this is designed by our good friend Art Robinson. It is designed to take your children from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. That's the whole cost. The textbooks are there, many of the reading books like Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and those wonderful stories of old, and you will actually find here on the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum what you need to be able to raise your child the way you want them raised. The only textbooks that are not included on these 22 CDs are the Saxon math textbooks you'll have to buy separately, but the child does most of the work. Now, they're not on the computer. They're to be reading, and that's what we want you doing, is getting them reading. Get them out, if you possibly can, get them out of government schools, because there they will work to destroy their faith in God and in family and country. That's the purpose of government schools. It's not education. It's indoctrination. They were trying education, they wouldn't be doing such a bad job. If they were trying indoctrination, well, they're doing a great job. Our kids know far more about sex than about Shakespeare, far lot more about Marilyn Manson and Marilyn Monroe than mathematics. 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us as we reach out 5 hours every day somewhere in America on radio, 5 hours every day on the Internet, 4 hours every day on the satellite, 4 hours every day on shortwave. But it's an expensive proposition. On the other hand, we're trying to save America. If we don't get this country back to its fundamentals, if we don't return to God, America is going to be lost. Do you believe that God will honor a country that has preemptive wars and goes over and kills people in another country, headed by a wicked man named Saddam Hussein, who was financed by your tax dollars all during the 1980s? I mean, do you really think that God is going to honor that sort of thing? And Osama bin Laden, the wicked Osama bin Laden, he was a CIA asset all during the Afghan war. And when we sent our troops into Afghanistan in the year 2001, in October and November, they weren't allowed to go after Osama bin Laden. If you doubt that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you a copy of the article out of the Washington Times that quotes a high official saying, our policy is not to get Osama bin Laden first. Our policy is Osama bin Laden last. After all, if we got Osama bin Laden, how could we justify this war? And ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. It wasn't Osama bin Laden. They wanted to justify the war, to get the pipeline through, to have a war against terrorism. And then in the middle of the war against terrorism, we stopped and we went to war with Iraq, because that was all about, it was all about, it was always all about oil. It was always all about World War III. It was all about killing an awful lot of people, because there aren't there too many people in the world. There terrible things lie ahead for America, so we've abandoned God. If you don't understand the battle, you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you haven't got it, you need to. It's an expensive book. You can get it by itself, or you can get the video, or you can get the audio tape. You can get them all together at a special reduced price, the Brotherhood of Darkness special. If you want to understand the wars and how we can document they were all fought for nothing, all the wars of the last century, you need to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story. You need to get our syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story. You'll get the documents that will show you that we didn't have to drop the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The Japanese have been trying to surrender for 6 months, and we wouldn't let them. Why? Because there are evil people out there, ladies and gentlemen, who want as much death and destruction as possible. And if you doubt that, well, get Iraq, the Untold Story. Get the documents that are there. And then you'll certainly want to see the video we're carrying now, either the 4 or the 12-hour version. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And you'll see the rock stars talking about how they sold their souls to the devil. This just seems like an old idea. That's crazy. Is there really a devil? Yes, there is, ladies and gentlemen. And he's after your soul. In fact, you really want to see the interview between Diane Sawyer and Mel Gibson, and that's in a video we carry called The Gods of Entertainment. It's the story of Hollywood, and they actually has that interview between Mel Gibson and Diane Sawyer, where she says to him, well, if you talk, Mel, about all these people, these dark forces that are trying to stop you from having your film of the passion, what do these dark forces really want? And Mel Gibson looks right at her, and his answer is worth the price of that entire video. They're inexpensive videos, but we hope you want that. The God of Entertainment. We have another one, Hollywood Unmasked. We have so much material that will help you to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival. And understand that there's an apostasy that's sweeping this country. If you don't understand the church growth movement, get our 4-tape set on the church growth movement. Get the video Diaprax. That's the 4-tape set on church growth, or the video Diaprax. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so I'll be gone for a few days here, at least on KKMC, but we'll be live on the Genesis Network until Monday. May the Lord be with you.